Okay, thanks, Chad. Good morning. You see how ready I was when Chad called me from last week? If you weren't here last week, I didn't show up for a little bit. Hey, I want to welcome you guys. My name is Ryan Grable. I am the lead pastor here, and we're really, really happy that you're here. You got to sleep in? Woo, unless you have children. And then you did not sleep in. Just real quick, I want to celebrate a few things. We talked about it last week, but we had our worship night, and it was an incredible moment for our church that will be something that we want to do every year. And so I found out that there was some like raw footage that I got a hold of. And oh yeah, and so I wanted to be able to share that with you guys and just play just a little piece of what our team had put together and just and one of their just a very small piece of one of the songs they did. Garrett, can you play that? Oh, there it is. Okay, you can stop it. That's all you get. What they're doing is they're putting together a video for the whole thing, and they did a good job of just kind of documenting what happened. Why I wanted to play that part right there is because what Jess had done is she took our worship series, and then what the team did is they took a song that really worked with each one of those sermons. And then Jess would teach through it, introduce it. And so it was a really amazing night to continue to lead us through that journey of worship. And so worship team, Jess, are you here? Jess, where are you at? Okay, thank you, Jess. You did awesome. And wherever Jake is, you're all right. Jake's a good guy. He's awesome. The guy on the keys, he's amazing. And then our fall festival, we want to celebrate that. We had an amazing fall festival. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the 50-plus volunteers we had in our church to help make that happen. We were able to reach over 400 people for our fall festival. And people from the neighborhood, people from all over. And all I heard was really positive things about, you know, every time I started talking to somebody, they said, where is your church at? And I could just point to this building and say, right there. And they're like, really? And really, it was a massive outreach for our neighborhood and our city to say, hey, you know, we want to provide a safe place for families to come, bring their kids and have a good time and interact with our ambassadors of Christ. And so that was a big win for us, and that is our third time doing that, and man, I just love seeing what God does through that. So thank you, everybody, to help in that, and thank you for everybody for even coming, because, I mean, I think it was Chrissy was telling me that one of the kids was talking to another kid, one of our church kids was talking to another kid, saying, oh, wait, do you go to this church here? I go to this church, and they're talking about the church and evangelizing the kid, and I'm like, oh, I love that. That's so awesome. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. God, we thank you for today. And we do. We should celebrate those things, God. We should celebrate those opportunities that we took and set aside to give honor and glory to you in that worship night. And God, also in the same way we worship you as we evangelize those around us and as we share your word, at least even if it's through kindness and just showing that we care. And God, I thank you for these opportunities that so many people came together to put on, to be an example, to be a light in this world. And God, just pray that not one of the seeds sown in that whole time would leave empty. God, that maybe like me in times where it will just kind of sit and it will fester. What was that church thing about? What was that about, God? And then you do your work as you're bringing and calling all people to you, God. Just help us be available in those moments. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in this series with, this is our third message into the series. And if you had missed the first two, don't worry. You can go back and listen to those on our podcast and just kind of get caught up of where we're at, or you don't have to. So, but what I want to do is maybe just kind of give you a very quick, letting you know with the direction that we're going. We decided that because of all of the, it's a constant request I get and I've gotten throughout my entire ministry career, which is, can you pray for me? I don't know what God wants me to do. Or what's God's calling on my life? Or how do you hear God? And so we thought, why don't we just really dedicate a good 6 weeks, 5 weeks to this topic? Because we thought, man, if we could help people it, the best we can biblically, how we can discern the voice of God, how we can discern God's nudging, leaning when it comes to a decision that we have to make. And we looked at, there's biblically four really good influences or factors that come into making a healthy, discernible decision, especially faith-based decisions that you're going to make. And so we talked about these four influences of discernment according to Scripture. One, last week we talked about in depth about intuition and that bringing reason and logic and the call to actually do the work as part of one of the influences. And we always talk about this. The danger is if I just make all decisions based on reason and logic, then we cut out the spiritual influence that matters. Paul had a very a strong example of this, where Paul, apostle in the Bible, very strategic leader. He was brilliant at strategy, and he was driven. He had all the natural giftings. He wanted to go minister to a very specific area, which he reasoned that would be the best next step for the gospel. And the Bible says that at one point the Spirit resisted him in that direction. And then Paul, against all of his reasoning, all of his logic, then had a call to another area, which eventually led to some of the most influential churches in the first century. And ultimately, Paul's final journeys as well. And when you look at that, you think, okay, all reason and all logic can't be the only way. The Spirit needs influence in there. And there's a few ways that that can happen as well. And so then we're talking about communal sourcing. We're talking about what it means to gather community, to get discernment, to bounce things off of people, to ask them, to invite them into that spiritual process of discernment with you, because maybe they also can be in tune with what God's speaking as well. Scripture, and we're going to spend some real time on that, because every discernible decision we make should be based on Scripture if possible. We don't want to leave the pages of the Bible too many times, because that can get us into some deep waters. And then we're going to do an extensive study on the Holy Spirit's role in discernment and how to discern His voice in our life. I had a friend of mine, and this wasn't that long ago. I was living in another state, and he was a good friend of mine. He was a volunteer of mine. My wife and I knew him and his wife well, and we were having a discussion one time, and he was telling me, like, oh, things aren't going good at home, and him and his wife aren't connecting anymore. And then he was talking about this other girl that worked for him. And I was like, hey, I appreciate you telling me this, because I'm pretty sure he knew how I was coming back at this. I think there was something in him that wanted to bounce this off of someone who he would consider me, someone who was a spiritual leader in his life. It took a lot of guts for him to do it. And I said, I'm sorry, what are you trying to say? And he said, well, I mean, she just really gets me. She really understands. And I mean, as he's explaining more and more, I'm just like, wow, this is a complete distraction from what you really need to be working on here. And I didn't quite know what to do, because that puts me in a very difficult position, if you've ever been there. Because, you know, I love his family and his wife, and then here we are now I'm been given this information. And so I remember at one point I just said, you know, there's just nothing in the Bible that will validate what you're doing. And so I had to have to start there and trying to really keep my own emotions out of it. And I think what he was doing in an unconscious way, maybe consciously, is bringing this thing to me and wondering how I'm going to help discern this issue. And at one point when I was challenging him hard, he got emotional and he said, you know what, I think God wants me to be happy though. And then here's where my understanding of the Bible, not just morals, but the Bible, and saying, you know what, here's what the Bible says about this marriage, commitment, faithfulness, and what you're tiptoeing into. And it was a long discussion, and him and his wife are together today through a lot more means than that conversation I had with him. But it was one of those moments where I had an opportunity to be a wise counsel, I think, to him, rooted in my biblical experience and then rooted in my own experience. And when I think about finding wise counsel, looking to someone not just to justify our decisions, but to maybe even challenge our decisions. And at that moment, you know, for me, I just realized again that important task that God gives us to go seek other people. Now, someone else, one of his other friends who I liked, but wasn't giving him wise counsel, was saying, yes, you know, we all deserve to be happy. And, you know, in the end, it will work out. That just to me was not, if he's looking for a discernible matter, that was the opposite end of the counsel I was trying to give him. It's important that we find not just people who will validate what our discernible decision is, but someone maybe who will even challenge it, but coming from the Word, making sure that we're bringing it to people who can challenge it. There's times where I've been in that guy's situation, not with that circumstance, but with other circumstances where I didn't want to bring it to a discernible person because they would tell me no. Have you ever been there? And it's very childlike and it's very immature, but then I would just bring it to people who would agree with me. And so today's message is all about communal sourcing, the value of wise counsel in discernment. So we talked about this intuition part, which you should take into discernment when it comes to making a decision. You should look at wise counsel, bringing it to someone. And I think the question really we should ask is, what does my Christian community tell me about what God wants for my life? Why is my Christian community so important? We're going to take communion at the end of service, and it's just a moment to just really look around and realize you're in a room with believers who are seeking Christ, who are saying, I can't do this on my own, I need you. And you're in a room that is unifying just even around a moment, the fact that what Jesus did, we owe everything to. That's a good place to be when you're looking for wise counsel, especially in spiritual matters. I wrote this question down. Have you ever felt like not taking a decision to others? Have you ever felt like that? You had something you wanted to do, and you were sure of it, and you just didn't want to take it to anyone else because they might mess with your decision. Have you ever done that? It's problematic in a marriage. I just want you to know that. It doesn't work out when we drive home and we're like, honey, look, I bought us a new car. That does not work out well. I have not done that. But those types of things are, oh, I decided we should do this. When we want something, we have our eyes set on something and or decisions before us, and we maybe want to control the outcome, we tend to cut out wise counsel because they might ask us questions we don't want to quite answer. But you need more eyes and you need more hearts and you need more prayers on faith-filled decisions in our life, you know. We had a guy in our community group. I highly respect this guy. Him and his wife are awesome. And in our last community group in our house, we were just talking, and he did something I just loved hearing it. At the end, we always take a prayer request, and he said, "Hey, okay, I have this request. Could you guys all just pray for me? Because I have a job opportunity within my own organization. If I take it, it might not be the best thing for my family. It's a great opportunity. It's a good step forward, but I just don't know. I want to I want to know, God, what do you really want? Because you know what's best for my family. You know what's best for me. Will it be too much for me? Will it change the way I mean, it was so thought through. And he brought it to us to discern that with him. I loved what he did. I was really blown away by it and of why he was wanting to bring it to council, because he wanted to really leave it in God's hands, because it sounds good. Everything else, it checks all the boxes, and he did all the work. But now he's going, God, is this in your foresight, God, what is best for our family and the things I don't know? And I thought that was a beautiful thing to do. And when we bring it to council, maybe someone else might experience or hear something from God, maybe differently, that might be good for us to hear. So a couple things I'm going to get into. One is we got to talk about this, and there's three really quick things I want to maybe throw out here in this piece, is finding wise counsel. And let me tell you three biblical directions for this. It's important. The Bible is very clear about finding counsel. And I think that we are tasked with, which should be up on the screen, we are tasked with the duty to seek and obtain wise guidance, wise counsel. The Bible continually tells believers to go seek guidance. If you want to go to the New Testament, every single day, Jesus was answering questions of these disciples. Paul was continually answering by letter questions that his followers, believers, or even leaders were asking, seeking wise counsel. It's a big part of our faith, is to bring it to others of wisdom. Proverbs 1:5 says this, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." And I love that. The one who actually, who gets it will, I think, eventually get it through guidance or get guidance in it. Over and over, seeking wise counsel in Proverbs, going after other people, laying down, you know, not just our agenda, to open it up to maybe what God has to say. We're called to do that. And I have a question. Who do you consult with, maybe on discernible matters? Who's your go-to to bring things? Now, there's things about, like, if you're going to ask about, like, you know, a financial issue and you need counsel on that, you're going to seek out somebody who's very savvy in that area, who makes wise decisions. I'm talking about discernible matters, the things that where you're kind of going, I'm not sure, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? Who are your go-to people? And maybe if you can't think of it now, maybe it might be worth evaluating. Because if these decisions are all on our shoulders, we might not be making the best decisions. Second thing I think about finding wise counsel and biblical direction for that, at least, is we have to be careful not to let our self-assuredness close down counsel. So confident that I know what I'm supposed to do that we close down any counsel. What's wrong with getting a few other eyes on something, even if you're so darn sure of it? Now listen, you don't know how Chad and I work behind closed doors. Chad and I do not agree on things. Right? There are certain things we don't agree on. Lots of it we do, and this is why our relationship is so important. Because if I don't bounce something off of Chad, and Chad doesn't bounce something off of me, we're going to fly kind of blind in what we're doing for the church. And so there are times where, and Chad, do you mind if I say this? Chad's always right. How about that? Yeah, so but the thing about it is that when we have that balance, and though there are times where I did not want to talk to Chad about it because I knew he was going to challenge me about it and ask me questions I didn't fully have the answer for, but I knew it was the right thing to do. And over that relationship, especially growing and trusting him as an advisor to me, it has been so important. But my self-assuredness and, dare I say, my pride would get challenged. I'm really grateful for our eldership because they do this with me all the time. These guys sitting around the table at any point have the right to challenge me. And there are things that I don't even need to bring to the eldership, but I bring it to them because I'm not so sure. And there are things I've been very sure about that I've brought that have been challenged. It's important that we have that in our life, that openness to receive, right, from wise counsel, correction, or maybe to assist in discernment in that area. Proverbs 13:10 says this, arrogance leads only to strife, but wisdom is with the well-advised. And now, I thought about that part, arrogance only leads to strife, and I typically think, go right, I compartmentalize this passage, where I'll just think like, oh yeah, arrogant people at work, they just cause so much problems, oh, arrogant. But you know what? If I take a step back and give it a full look, arrogance is this thing of pride. And when we go without wise counsel and we make a solo decision that could impact others, we find ourselves in strife, if you've ever been there. I mentioned earlier about just a marriage relationship. That's the easiest one to talk about. In our arrogance, well, this is just how things are. This is what I think we should do. Then we find ourselves in strife versus opening it up for counsel or compromise. It doesn't always work with our spouses, and it doesn't work often with our life either, when just because of our self-assuredness or our pride, and we want to just go, this is what I think we should do, you might find yourself in a situation you don't want to be in. Now, I know nobody likes input from people, and I always tell this to people, you just have to chew up the bones and, wow, no, you chew up the meat and spit out the bones. Whew. Either way, it works. Okay, so just one's really unhealthy. But the thing about it is that like it is that way. Lots of people give advice, and it doesn't mean we have to go, oh, they're right. If I give you advice, and I've had people ask me, what do you think I should do? Which is a dangerous question for me, because they're looking at me as if I have the right answer. If you've ever asked me that question, you're usually going to get this. Well, what do you think about that? And they're like, oh, why do I talk to you? But like, I'm going to give advice, but also you have to like let it digest, because that's a part of the discernible process. Seeking wise counsel, chew up the meat, spit out the bones, right? It's an influence into discernment, which there are two other very important factors as well. And the other thing is the third one of these is finding wise counsel is this discernment influence needs spiritually based wisdom. There's wisdom, and then there's spiritually based wisdom, and they are different. And it is a counselor, someone who is tuning in to biblically based discernment, right? Someone who's tuned into what the Bible says about discernible matters. Like my friend who was in that unhealthy relationship he was entering into, there is scripture about those things, and I knew those passages and brought those passages to him. When he's someone, his faith meant a lot to him. And so your faith doesn't permit you to do this way. And so it is important that you find people who value Scripture's voice in their life. And when they are giving you discernible wisdom, this is maybe an important checklist, is are they referencing anything scripturally? Are they going, this is what the Word says? Or let me look into what the Bible says about that. It's important that it's scripturally based. James 3:5, I have to read this because it talks about the value of the word and knowing it and what it does, especially in discernible matters. James 3:15-18, this is not the wisdom that comes down from above, no, but is earthly. He's talking about these practices of just a behavior that was a pattern that everybody else was following. He says that they are earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every vile practice. Contrast. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable and gentle, open to reason and full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Now, if I have those two as a contrast, I want someone who is biblically based in their decision-making, who value the wisdom from above, because the byproduct of peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full mercy, good fruits, impartial, a harvest of righteousness. Yeah, I want that wisdom. I would like to seek that in my wise counsel. And I was going to ask you this question too, since we are thinking of our wise counsel, our people, our go-to people. Maybe another question to ask is, does our counsel seek biblical practices, biblical wisdom, and do they implement that in their life? You know, if we're getting advice from people who, and it's contrary to scripture, we really need to evaluate that. And if you feel confident, challenge them on that. It's important that they are based in scripture. It matters. Our faith decisions, right? It matters. There's conventional wisdom, which I get, and then there's biblical wisdom. And we want to make sure that the wise counsel we're seeking is found, is rooted in that. And we also should root ourselves in that so we can be a voice to somebody else. This last half of the message, I just want to talk about, there's some interesting stories in the Bible we can look at that maybe give us a glimpse into maybe some, what biblical counsel can look like in a few different ways. I didn't know how else to say this, and it does, maybe it doesn't make sense, but this whole thing I'm getting to, I'm just calling it godly counsel guidance. When you have godly counsel in your life, what that guidance might look like, or we should be, when we have an issue, maybe how they can help. I will say this, godly counsel guidance will be like this. They affirm God's voice through scripture in discernment. And I know I just said the value of that, but they will really ultimately give God's words through scripture to maybe what you're discerning. They are going to come with you to like, hey, let's find out if this is God's voice for your life. Let's hear if that thing that you're wondering about, that thing you're discerning about, is God's voice. You know, one of the most difficult questions I get as a pastor is, why did this happen? And they're wanting me to answer something that I have to search God's voice on. And I have to do my very best to try to answer that question according to scripture. Because if I want to just give them what Ryan thinks about that, they're not asking. They're going, why did God do this? And God's entrusted me to do my very best to answer that question according to what God would say through his scripture. And it's important to seek people who will do that, especially on difficult discerning issues. It's important to have wise counsel that's familiar with God's voice through scripture. It's important for them to help discern how to hear that God's voice within scripture itself. Scripture is one giant speaking of God's voice. And this is what we'll get into over the next couple of weeks, is why it's so valuable. And that person is going to help you discern God's voice through scripture. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. Now, Timothy, he's a young guy. He's over his head. He has left everything he knows to follow what Paul is leading when he's planting these churches on the pages of the Bible. And Paul is writing this letter to Timothy in response to, no doubt, scholars believe, questions that Timothy was having. Questions about maybe even continuing the journey, because some of the language Paul uses. Questions about his ability. Questions about his calling. Questions about even if he's the man for the job. And Paul is not in a great position to meet with Timothy. Most would believe that Paul is in prison at this time. And so even Timothy's going, is that the fate that I want? Is what you have, Paul? And he's in a really tough situation here. And Paul's answering his concern and helping him discern through scripture what Timothy really needs to focus on and what God says about maybe what Timothy's concerns are. Here we go. 2 Timothy 1:3. I thank God whom I serve as did my ancestors. Paul right out of the gate. I thank God that I'm in line with what my ancestors had done, serving God, fulfilling his mission. I'm in line with my ancestors, first reference to scripture, with a clear conscience as I remember you constantly in my prayers, talking about Timothy, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Timothy. Remember how sincere it was. I'm reminded of that. For this reason, I remember to fan the flame, the gift of fan into the flame. Wow. Reset. Into the flame, the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands, the entrustment, the empowering through the Holy Spirit. Timothy, remember these things. And then he goes on in verse 8 to say, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Because Paul, I'm sure, was a black mark on the church's confidence of going, wow, he's in prison. Everybody wants his head. Why would you follow that person? So he's saying, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And he's reminding him of the good news, the proclamation of Christ in this world, and that who saved us and called us to the holy calling, not because of our works. This is all very theological. He is letting them know the break from works-based religion to faith-based religions. He's reaffirming the truth. Because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Jesus Christ before the ages even began. Now, here's a situation where someone is in a place of maybe even, is this for me? Should I continue on the journey? And Paul is reinforcing the truth in God's voice on these matters to Timothy and reaffirming him using really ultimately, which will be scripture. Second thing about this guidance that you can seek out or what a wise counselor or biblically based counselor will do is one, they'll discern how you can hear God's voice through scripture. And then two, they will affirm God's call by helping us discern God's voice in our lives. And let me explain this. This is wise counsel that maybe has a proven track record of discerning God's internal voice in our life, hearing the voice of God. And I know that sounds kind of crazy, like, but you don't understand. I'm just me. How can I hear God's voice? But God is always speaking through his spirit all the time. And let me give you a really good example, just in case you don't believe me. When you became a believer, if you can just remember back to when you first became a believer, there was something like gnawing or pulling your heart, was there not? Can you remember that moment? There was something when somebody said something, or you encountered something, or they asked you a question, you said, I don't know, but my heart is just kind of being pulled in this direction. That literally is the voice of God on your life, speaking to you, speaking to your heart. And that is God's voice in your life. And if you look at it over time, there have been many moments where you feel this sense of God's voice in your life, this discernment. Oh, let me give you a really good one so you can all really identify. When you are about ready to sin purposefully, which none of you do, and you've worked it all out in your head, and you're contemplating doing it, and there's this, have you ever had the knot? I'm sorry. Should I just stop right now? I'm just going to stop. Clearly, this is not a subject we want to talk about. Have you ever had the knot? I mean, just give me a head nod. That way, okay, oof. This is the Spirit speaking to you. This is conviction happening. This is the voice of God really speaking to you about what is not best for you and calling you to something else. We all are very familiar in ways of hearing the voice of God, but we can continue to sharpen our ear to the Spirit's speaking. And there are people who very much are in tune with this in wise counsel. I have people that if I really honestly am like, man, can't discern if this is God or not. I feel this thing kind of on my heart, pulling me, but I really need to bring to somebody else who really has an ear that's very tuned to that and ask them to enter into prayer with me on this. But it's so important that we seek wise counsel who are spiritually in tune. There's a story in the Old Testament of Eli and Samuel. Now, Eli is getting old, and he was the main leader and judge of Israel. He was the voice of God to Israel, and God would speak to Eli, and Eli would speak to Israel. And Samuel is this young guy, and he's kind of coming up slowly in the ranks. Eli is really starting to fade in a lot of ways. And here we go. Listen to this passage. This is one of the very rare passages in the Bible because I looked and looked and looked and looked for a passage like this. And this is one of the only ones I found of someone teaching someone else how to discern and hear that and identify that is God's voice. And here's how you respond to God's voice. Very rare. I look forever. 1 Samuel 3, 1 through 10, and I'll splice this up a little bit. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. God's voice was not being heard often. Samuel might not even have heard Eli utter any of those words. And so he didn't know how to discern it. He didn't know what God's voice sounded like. He didn't know what maybe even when God spoke through Eli, what God sounded like through Eli. And Samuel's sleeping, and all of a sudden he hears a voice calling him, Samuel, Samuel. And he gets up, if you know the story, runs to Eli and is like, yes, what do you need? Are you calling me? And he's like, I'm not calling you. Go to bed. Happens another time. And then here we go in verse 7. Now Samuel did not know yet the Lord. The word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, here I am, you called me? And then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. He knew God's voice. He knew how to identify it. And then here's what he says to Samuel. So Eli told Samuel, go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and to lie down in that place. And the Lord came and stood there calling as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. This was the beginning of Samuel being the mouthpiece for God. And I think it's interesting that Eli said, no, that's God's voice you're hearing. And when he speaks to you, say this. There are people in our life or wise counsel that really have really worked hard to continually listen and discern what God's voice is, what his nudging is, and they can help you. When you have a discernible matter to go, is this God's voice? What does it sound like? What does it feel like? Do you have to hear it audibly? Or is it pulling in this way? And this is when I hear this. This is when I feel this feeling. Is that God? Is that me? Is that pizza? Yeah, we have all these things we don't know. And bringing this discernible matter to someone is important. And another, the last, is someone who is a wise counsel, this guidance in your life, there's another role that they play. And there's something else, and they should possess this, a wise counselor in your life for spiritual discerning matters. And it is this, they confirm and they encourage you on God's call in your life. They can help confirm it. I see that. And confirm that my spirit bears witness with your spirit in that decision. And it's important to have that, or they won't confirm it. But it's important that that's part of that process, and also encourage you in it, that you can celebrate that this is God's voice in this decision. I hear God in this. And be a part of that. Now, there's a story, and we know this story very well, and we'll teach about it as we get closer to Christmas. But Mary, when she sees the angel says something to Mary, and she basically lets her know what's going to happen to you is going to change the whole world. And she's like, are you serious? Do you know who I am? I'm nobody. This cannot happen. And I'm not even married yet, and I cannot have a baby. Doesn't look so good. You know what I mean? Like, this is a difficult scenario. she questions because she's never seen anything like this. She's never had an encounter. She's never heard God's voice to her. She doesn't know. They haven't seen the miracles in a lot of years. And so she questions it, and she's concerned about it, and she's not quite sure about it. And she's encouraged to look at her relative Elizabeth, her story, John the Baptist. Elizabeth is an old age. She shouldn't be able to have children, and yet she's pregnant with John the Baptist. And then this miracle is developing, and he is saying, go look at Elizabeth and see the miracle that's happening there. And it'll show you I can do things that you don't realize I can do. And so she does. She goes. And when she is in the presence of Elizabeth, something happens, a spiritual affirmation, a confirmation happens between these two. I wish the Bible gave us a lot more detail on this, but it gives us enough to see the importance of confirmation or being in the same spirit on something that's happening. And so she went to a visitor, and then here's where it picks up in 41. I'll just read the whole thing and then have a comment. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is this child you bear." Encouragement in the very thing that Mary doubted. That happened right away. And so I love that, because if you've ever gone to somebody and you're saying, "Is this what God's calling me to do?" And they go, "Are you kidding me? Absolutely, this is what God's calling to do. I 100% bear witness with that. That is in you." And I believe that's also God's voice. They're affirming and they're encouraging you in that. And that's what she does right away. But why am I so favored that my mother, the Lord, this is still Elizabeth, why am I so favored that my mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promise to her, speaking to all the things she was concerned about. I'm sure even the journey there was, what am I going to tell my parents? Who will accept me? What is happening here? God gave those words to her, and Elizabeth confirmed those words to her. And then it goes on to say this. And this, I think, is fascinating, because Mary's response in confirming the confirmation spiritually that happens here by this discerning person. Blessed is she, right, who has believed in the Lord and fulfilled her promise. And then Mary said, this is Mary's response, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Oh, listen to Mary's response to the spiritual confirmation that confirmed what God was speaking to her. And listen to her response in this encouragement that happens, which is speaking directly to Mary's doubts. Mary herself is saying, "God, wow, I see you. This confirms it. And here's what I have to say to those doubts about me being nobody, essentially. You've been mindful of the humble state of a servant. From now, all generations will call me blessed. And the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm, and he has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. I love that passage, because something spiritual, some transaction happened, some confirmation of something that was really doubting her. And a wise counsel, someone who's spiritually in tune, is really there, hopefully, to confirm what God is speaking in your life. I've had people come to me and say, "I feel like God's telling me that I am called to ministry." Now, what they're asking is, will you confirm or deny this? And there are times where I've said, "I don't feel that that is what I feel for you." it's not you, it's me. And I had a lot of reasoning for that. I definitely didn't feel that. I just gave them my counsel. I said, but if you believe it's God, I think that you should take more time and walk this process that can be helpful. And it was interesting because in that moment, they just stopped the journey. And you know what? At first I thought, wow, did I discourage that person? But, you know, I think if God's calling you to something, you'll continue to press. You need to discern. But I felt like what God was calling me to do was actually ask a question and not lie and say, yeah, absolutely. You should totally go into ministry. That's what God's calling you to do. I just felt like that wasn't what God was speaking to me. And they gave me that platform. And when you go to somebody, if you do feel that their discernment or they're not confirming what God's calling, continue just to pursue if you feel it so strongly. And it doesn't mean that everybody's voice is the voice. And I share that outing myself a little bit of like, hey, that was a tough decision. I feel that I was still right about that. But, you know, that happens. And then there's people who I am going to and saying, I feel that God is calling you into ministry. And they're going, no, he's not. And I'm like, I just feel that. Can you just pray about it? And can you think about it? There's something there. I can't stop. There's something, my spirit in me is doing this thing that it does that when I feel like I'm hearing God. And it's interesting because that is another thing of like, will their spirit bear witness what I feel God is saying? And if not, it's okay. And maybe I had bad pizza. But at the end of the day, there's something about that when we go to counsel and are you spiritually in tune? Are you listening and leaning in and to confirm and affirm what God's calling us to decide to do? It's important and encourage us in that decision. Unwise counsel, before we take communion. When you make your list and you list out the people in your life, when you're talking about faith decisions, I would love it, even if you can't think of a name, make that as one of your goals to find people, if it's within this community, because I believe there's lots of very wise people in this room. And it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your experience. It matters about those principles of valuing wise counsel. They probably have wise counsel in their own life. I guarantee that's the case. They probably are very biblically based, seeking what the word says about it so they can answer what God says through scripture. And most likely, they probably are continually leaning into God more and less into their own intellect always. And they're listening for God's ear and they're identifying it in their life and saying, oh, this is definitely God. I got to lean into it. If you're one of those people, please make yourself available for wise counsel. But if you're someone who doesn't have anybody on that list, like, ask me. I can put you in the right direction. As you've heard, I'm not always 100%, right? So you might not want me. But there are people in this room that, honestly, that you could connect with. And if there's any way that myself or Chad or any of our staff can be a role in that way of just someone to bounce something off of, a decision you're trying to make, please let us know. We'd love to be a part of that. And then in those guidelines, those things that they end up doing in your life, you should see the fruit of those three things I just listed in there. And you should expect it. If I'm bringing something, this is what I should experience, especially through those three stories of Timothy, Samuel, and Mary. It's what it should look like. It's what it should feel like, if you've ever wanted to know. Now, we're about ready to take communion, and why I think this is an important moment, especially when we're talking about communal sourcing as one of these influences for discernment, is that when we sit together as the body of Christ, the Bible says this in a micro level and a macro level when he talks about the church. In a micro level, which would be our church, is one person acts as the thumb while another acts as the big toe and another person acts, but all together, we are the body. On a macro level, Soundhouse is just a pinky, while the church down the street is a thumb, right? On a macro level. But there's this thing about the body working together. And so as we come and take communion, what you're going to experience is not just a ritual, but actually a physical display of an internal work that's happening, saying that we are all in this together. The very heartbeat is Christ, and the direction is Christ, and we are all part of that body. And there's no better place to find communal sourcing than the very body you're a part of, working with each other. So be bold. Reach out. Ask somebody for coffee. Take them to coffee. It'd be nice if you took them to coffee instead of asking the coffee and then having them pay for you. It's important to go out and reach out for communal sourcing. Let's pray. God, we love you so much. We thank you. Thank you, God, as we've taken this journey into really exploring discernment. And God, we have big decisions ahead of us. Some of us in here, God, are in the middle of one right now. Some of us in here, God, maybe have been running from wise counsel because we know what they're going to say. God, give us the courage to lay down our pride, reach out to others and say, can you help me? I need wisdom. And God, give us as a church community, as someone reaches to us, that we reinforce our wisdom with your wisdom. Not just our words, but your words, God. And help us continually strive for that so we're ready in all seasons to give a good word that's your word. And God, help us continually every day just try to discern your voice in our life more and more, that we don't go a day without going, God, what are you saying to me today? I want to hear you more. Help me tune my ear to you more. I want to listen what you have to say, God, because what you said in that passage, that wisdom from above, it produced a harvest of righteousness. And the byproduct is a life that we just can't even imagine sometimes. So we seek that, God. Help our counselors possess the same. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. What we're going to do is we're going to stand up for this last worship song, and I'm going to ask that at any moment, feel free to come down, grab the communion, and then head back to your seats, and then in your own way, how you take communion. So, let's sing.